Amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. I trust that you sense the very same thing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if we'd look in Genesis chapter 9, been studying on the life of Noah. And what a blessing, all the different things we've learned from studying the first bit of first nine chapters, basically, of the book of Genesis there. And pre-flood civilization, and how God judged man, and then God made promises after the judgment. But as we study the life of Noah, it's brought in so much for us concerning that pre-flood society. Noah has been through a lot as we've been studying this, and especially here in the last little bit that we've studied. 120 years in building an ark and warning humanity of God's judgment. And after all that, there was not one convert, but Noah won his family. And what a tremendous success if we can know that we can reach our family. And so we find that Noah and his family were placed on the ark and then sealed by God. They were on the ark for a year and 10 days. And keeping seed alive, basically for a year and 10 days, just doing what they had to do inside the ark to keep the seed alive. And enduring the flood, hard telling what they heard on the outside for the year and 10 days, all the things that went on inside of the ark and what they experienced during that time. Well, then we studied that God allowed the ark to rest on Ararat, and allowed the waters to go down. And once the waters were down, and when it was time, Noah stayed on until God told him it was time to leave the ark. When he gets out, he acknowledges, he looks around, and everything's different. I mean, everything's different. And he acknowledged his need for God. And when he acknowledged his need for God, the very first thing we find that he did and was not instructed to do, this was of his own free will, Noah worships God. Builds an altar and worships God. God is pleased with that. And then God reveals truth about man to Noah, and he gives him promises that things would not change. He would not destroy the world with the flood again. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't flood, amen. We continue to have floods, but not to destroy the world, amen, as he did. It was not used as a device in God's hand to destroy all of mankind, destroy the world. And so the earth had changed. The environment had changed. A lot of different things. The atmosphere has somewhat changed. But God made a promise from that point forward that it would not change again. That until as long as the earth was still standing, that things would not change. You can count on that. You can count on the sun rising every day. You can count on 24-hour days, amen, 7 days a week, on and on and on. You can count on it. Why? Because God said he would continue it. It would continue, and there would be no stopping of that. And we can thank God for that. Thank God for the things that we can, you know, look forward to. And we can look forward to daylight after dark. We can look forward to springtime after winter. And on and on and on, and God says we can do that. Well, that's what we looked at last week. Praise God for his promises to mankind as far as things would not change. Genesis chapter 9, now verses 1 through 9, we find the next event in the life of Noah. Now that he's in a new world. It's a new world. It's a new beginning. And let's read here. Stand with me. We'll read verse 1 through 9. We're not going to get through all of the 1 through 9, but there's several lessons I want to teach on verses 1 through 9, but tonight, God met with Noah to bless and instruct him. That's what we're looking at tonight, a new world. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. That's a difference. They didn't eat meat before. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. The hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, establishing human government, we'll get into that later on. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful. Now he's instructing them again, coming back to verse 7. And you be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you for opportunity to be in church. Thank you for what we've already been blessed by and just seeing one another. A handshake, a smile, encouragement. Singing praises unto you, acknowledging our love and our desire to worship and praise you. Special music and the message of the songs. But now, Father, as we open up your word and feed upon the very words of God, I pray that you would just help each one of us to have an ear to hear what you have for us. Empower the preaching and the teaching once again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, we find that Noah has been through a lot. And he worships God, and God gives him some promises. But in chapter 9, we find a new world. Noah is now in a new world. And so God meets with Noah and his children to bless. The first thing was to bless them and then to instruct them. God's blessing of a new beginning. What a blessing it is. You know, when you get saved, you have a new beginning. We've studied a little bit about that, new beginning. Be very appreciative of the new beginning of salvation. Amen. Our sins have been washed away, a clean slate. As far as our relationship with God, now we still live with the scars of the sin that we've committed in our lifetime. They will not lose those until we lose this physical body and this old nature. But whatever you've done in the flesh is scars. A sin scars the body and scars the mind. But when you get saved, you realize you still have that old nature, but you've been given a new nature. Where through this new nature is an opportunity for a new life. Yeah. And when you yield to that, all things are made different. All things all become new. And because it's a different way of thinking, it's a different way of living. It's so many more blessings as we see things, as we ought to see things, as God sees things. And so a new beginning. And so we find here that Noah, somewhat in this new beginning of a new world, it's like, what a blessing. All of those that hated God, all of those that were rebuking him and mocking him and making fun of him and rejected the warning, they're gone. At this point, now it's just Noah and his family, and so righteousness is ruling and reigning on earth. Amen. It's a blessing to understand that, to see that. So God's blessing of a new beginning. The earth has been altered. Now we'll continue to see some things that have changed. We've looked at some of it. Man will actually start eating meat at this point. That was not how God instructed Noah. God instructed Adam. But now we find that God instructs Noah with this new beginning. And I think it's because of the different atmosphere. It's a different life. It's a different world. It would affect mankind. The atmosphere, it's going to start raining. There's going to possibly be more disease. It's going to shorten man's lifespan. So many things that we understand now as we look back because we've studied the rest of the Bible, but the idea there was it was a new beginning for Noah, and God wanted him to understand that, see that. But he knows by looking around, it's not the same earth that he was on before. It's a different earth. The earth has been altered. But God says, and God blessed Noah. After all this, and God was pleased with Noah, and he told Noah of the promise, but then he brings them together, and God says, I want you to know, that I want to bless you and your children. Yeah. Having the blessings of God. Understanding who God is. It ought to be the desire of every human being. If you truly know who God is and who you are in the world that we're living in today, listen to me, you would want to have God's blessings upon your life. To bless is an act of love, to grant grace and mercy. God is revealing to Noah, I love you. I want to bless you. I will grant you, as you've already experienced it, grace and mercy. Noah realized, he told him that earlier, that all mankind have a sin nature. All mankind are evil, and he goes on to say that has a man's heart is evil from his youth, born with a sin nature. So he says, Noah, I've granted you grace and mercy for this new adventure, for this new life. It was the same God as we find Jesus referring to when he gives us John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That means that God so blessed the world. God wanted to grant mankind grace and mercy. God's blessings upon humanity, and God sent his only begotten Son. He gave so that man could have his grace and mercy. Knowing of Noah and his family's fears, they could not have received anything that would have been a greater help to them than to know that they have God's blessings. When we go through struggles, when we go through trials, and we're facing some of the scary things that we have to face in life, maybe walking through the valley of the shadow of death or fearing what this disease is going to do or age or whatever it might be, can I tell you that the most important thing that we have need of, to need to know as we're walking through and facing these fears, is that we have God's blessings. Amen. But can you imagine Noah? I mean, we have a lot of fears in our life, but can you imagine stepping out on an ark and the whole world's different? And you're the only thing living? I mean, you and what was in the ark? And you're starting all over again. But if you know God and he is going to bless you, then what confidence that brings. What peace, the past of all understanding. What comfort to know I have God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Possibly what God gave Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, we have it. God presented it to his children as they had need of it throughout the Bible. But he's given us some verses here and some passages of scripture that will help us to know it's the same God. It's the same God instructed Adam. And now that the whole world and mankind was destroyed and God starts over again, now he starts over again with Noah. It's the same God that sent his son. It's the same God that we look to today. He's unchangeable. He's immutable. It doesn't change. And so even here we find Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 9 and 10. The Word of God tells us this. It says, Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee. This is God speaking to Isaiah and the nation of Israel. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Not cast you away. I've got a purpose for your life. Amen. Fear thou not. Now I can see the very same thing. God, when he blessed him, possibly he said these very same things to Noah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. When you know who God is, to know that, have the confidence in that, that'll do something for you. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You have a tendency to be dismayed. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Not going to put more on you than what you're able to bear. With that, he'll give you a way of escape. He'll strengthen you for it. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Wow. I think it goes right along with what God gave us in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's the same God. Same God gave Adam. Same God that gave it to Noah. Same God gave it to all the prophets, the children of Israel. Same God that we have in this New Testament church age. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you have a devil, you have an adversary, you're in a battle, don't forget that. Even Noah, when he was going out with his family, realizing Satan was still battling him. And we're going to see some of Satan's victories in Noah's family's life. For it's all over and said with. There was still victory. There was still a devil to fight. There's still the spiritual battle. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is trying to devour you. God is wanting to bless you. And yet so many choose to go the ways of the devil more than the ways of God. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace. God's telling Noah, I love you. I'm going to bestow upon you in this new beginning grace and mercy. God's blessings of a new beginning. Well, right after God's blessing of Noah, and God reveals to him, he says, and God blessed Noah and his sons. All of them had the very same promise of God, this covenant with God. And then he says, and he said unto them, okay, now they understand that it's a new world, a new beginning. They have God to look to, and He's going to do as He has done ever since that to mankind. In every dispensation, He instructs them. This is what I want you to accomplish. This is my instructions for you in this dispensation. And it's pretty obvious in this world that we live in, the first thing they had to do is replenish the earth. And that's what he says. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God's instructions that are for humanity until he destroys the world. They haven't changed. Day and night hadn't changed. Seasons haven't changed. The world as God had allowed it and created it after the flood has not changed. It's been the very same since. God's instructions to mankind have not changed. Verse 70 says, and you be fruitful and multiply. This is how you're going to be bearing fruit. I want you to multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So, with four couples, they were to multiply and replenish the earth. Look back with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. When he created Adam and Eve, you'll find the very same instructions given to Adam and Eve that he gave to Noah. Because God hadn't changed. His desire for the humanity on earth has always been the same. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve, in verse 28 of chapter 1, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And then he goes on and says, and subdue it and have dominion. We're going to get into that as we study verses 3 and 4 later on. But right now the idea there is the first instruction that God gives to Adam and Eve and to every generation from that point, as long as the earth is the same until the rapture of the church, is for God's people to look to, put emphasis on, replenishing the earth. Why? Because it's God's desire. Instructed to multiply and replenish. You know what it says to me? God wants more children. God wants more children. He created Adam and Eve, and he created them in a way to reproduce. And in reproduction, God says, I want more children. That's the desire of a creator God. That hadn't changed. He told Adam and Eve, replenish, multiply. Didn't want to have to destroy the world, but he did. He said, I'll not do that again. And you can count on it until I destroy the earth. As long as the earth remains, you have my same desire here. You have my same instructions. Replenish. Multiply. I think we need to stop worrying about overpopulating the earth. You find the only ones that are really worried about overpopulating the earth are those that don't understand God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is God. He wants more children. No matter how many are born on this earth, can I tell you, it's God's desire to have more children. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, in chapter 3, he talks about the old world and all the what had taken place. He also talks about how he's going to destroy the earth with fire. But there's one verse in here that helps us understand in the midst of all this is what God's desire is. And he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and become his children. Not just his creation, but become his children. The earth can never be overpopulated with humanity. Now, if you do not believe in God, and all you see is the population of the world, and then you look at the resources of the earth, and you start thinking, how many millions of years from now are we going to run out of food? In a million years, we might run out of some energy. And so in a million years, we might destroy the planet. That's somebody that doesn't understand God. If no God, then limit. If no God, I can see China saying you can only have so many children per family. There's no God that I can see possibly. All right, let's look at the different egg and let's look and see what could possibly be a deforming child or a child without, it's not going to be as perfect and will not have the opportunities. And so maybe if you want a girl, let's go ahead and get rid of the boys and have a girl. If you want a boy instead of a girl, get rid of those and only have those come to birth that we choose. But then you're putting yourself in the place of God. If you don't believe in God, then I can see the humanistic understanding of limiting and thinking that there's going to be a fear of overpopulating and thinking about the next generation and the next generation and with the energy and all the different things. But when you understand that God has given to us His Word, this is the very mind of God, and God's His challenge, His charge, His instruction to mankind is to don't worry about this, replenish the earth. There's a reason for that. We're going to see in just a minute or two, even more. To replenish is to fill. Fill it back up. No doubt the first world of 1600, almost 17 centuries, this world was populated. Now he says, I had to destroy all that. I'm not going to do that again, but I want you to understand that there's coming a judgment. This is to highlight the idea that God is a God of judgment. He's a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment. And God says He's going to judge. But God says from that point until the end of the earth, things are not going to change. And so my people just give me more children. I can tell some of you out there worrying right now. You're thinking, she's going to want another baby. I'm telling you. Or it could be he's going to want another baby. I don't know. But listen to me. Stop worrying about overpopulating the earth. That is not a good excuse why you shouldn't have any more children. Being able to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, being able to raise them for the Lord, having the responsibility that God says comes along with having children, if you can't do that, that's when you better stop and think about how many we can raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many do we have opportunity to raise the right way and raise for God? We don't want to just have children and let the government take over the children and raising them. I think we ought to have some responsibility in having children and understanding what comes along with having children, and that is the commandment to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you better understand the importance of that. Just having children without raising them according to God's will is not what God's looking for. But God wants more children. Today he wants all to be saved. Because everyone you get saved becomes a child of God's. Amen. Populate the earth. He's giving a commandment, if you will, here, not to go into all the world, but create the world. I mean, to replenish the world. Fill the earth with those who will call upon the name of the Lord. Fill the earth with those that love God. Fill the earth with those who want to live for God. But if no God, then I can understand limiting. But God says, multiply. I don't know. It might be God's waiting on the earth to reach a certain number before he calls the church home. Was he waiting in the first before a certain number? Almost 17 generations? I don't know. I'm saying that this is to continue as long as the earth is here. God's will for humanity. God wants to bless life. Satan wants to kill life. Satan wants to destroy life. God wants to bless life. And part of how God blesses life is through family. Could it be that God understands and God designed man and he says, my blessings are going to come as you start fulfilling my will, and as you marry and you have children, you're going to find that through marriage and having children that you're going to be the most blessed on planet Earth. When you do it my way and you find that one mate that God have prepared for you and the two of you become one, it's always God's will that there would just be one man for one wife and one wife for one with one husband. Jesus helps us understand that in Mark chapter 10. He said this has always been God's plan, not multiple wives, not multiple husbands, but one man for one wife, one woman for life. Only till death do you part. And God says, because of my design of humanity and my blessings upon humanity are going to be associated with my will for humanity, and my will for humanity is to marry and have children. Wow. God wants to bless life. Doing things God's way brings God's blessings. Satan wants to destroy life. So not doing things God's way will take away God's blessings, will take away fulfillment, will take away peace, will take away joy. Amen. Jesus presented it very clearly. John chapter 10. Look there with me. John chapter 10. God's the same. Jesus presenting the very same truths that God presented to Adam, and then with the new world, the new beginning that God presented to Noah. And so now we have it both what God said to Adam and now what God says to Noah in this new beginning. And now he says it will be the same until the end. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh, the thief is the devil. The thief cometh but for to steal. Satan wants to steal the blessing that God wants to give mankind. Not only does he want to steal, but he doesn't want to just stop there. He wants to kill. And he wants to destroy. Three things that Satan wants to do and that God wants to give. I am come that they might have life. That they might have it more abundantly. Jesus, God says, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to bless life. You do things my way, your life can be blessed. When you get away from my plan, when you get away from what I designed, Satan steals, kills, and destroys. You start early on life. Teenagers, you need to understand that your life right now, Satan can kill, steal, and destroy. Things that God wants to bless you with later on. You might think you're getting by with something right now, and you might think that you're having fun right now, but listen to me. What you do outside the will of God is going to do nothing more than steal, kill, and destroy the ultimate blessing that God has for you. And we're living in a world that has no clue. We're living in a world today that have rejected the ways of God and gone the direction that Satan wants them to go, and they're not being blessed by God. They're having the blessings of God stolen away. And ultimately, purpose for life. And we have people taking their own lives because they've lost purpose for it. God wants to bless life. Satan wants to kill and destroy life. So it is connected to multiplying and replenishing. What connects it there is my last point here tonight that I want you to get a hold of. Be fruitful. Being fruitful. Understanding it's what I'm looking for, God says. Bearing fruit. We've been in a Sunday school series helping you understand the things of bearing fruit. Jesus in John chapter 15 reveals it's God's will for every believer to bear fruit and to bear more fruit and continue to bear more fruit. If you stop bearing fruit, he's going to cut the vine off or the branch off of the vine. His will for our lives is that we bear fruit. And so God says in instructing to multiply and replenish so that it might bear him fruit. Having children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is bearing fruit for God, which in return brings blessings to us. Psalms 127. Hopefully you'll see this in a whole new light. Most of you know Psalms 127, verses 1 through 3. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. You build it upon biblical principles. You come together as God has designed marriage. How, as God has designed it, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The only way that there's going to be true blessings of God in a relationship is having a relationship that is blessed by God. Amen. It is vain, it's empty, for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They are coming from God. Look right here. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. That means as we have children, it is part of the fruit that God had established and given it to Adam and then given it to Noah and given it to the children, his children today. Having children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is bearing fruit for God. Through marriage and family. Powerful blessings in God's will. Powerful blessings when we do it God's way. You remain pure. You turn away from all thoughts of impurity. Turn away from all of them. Why? Because it's God's will. I know you want things now, but listen to me. How much better if you wait till the cake's baked to take a piece of it? Amen. You get out of the oven too soon? Amen. I know if you wait too late as well, but you get it right. Wait till it's baked. When it's baked, when it's in God's timing, partake of what God has for you. Marriage, done God's way. What a blessing. Powerful blessing. To know no other but your husband. No memories. No scars. To know no other but your wife. No memories. No scars. Commitment. Genuine love. Not lust, but genuine love. Powerful. Marriage. Having children. Powerful. There's nothing as powerful as having children. He says, Noah, establish a world that will call upon me. Everyone alive at that point called upon the name of the Lord. He said, you're going to battle. Stay focused on my blessings. Stay focused on my will. Multiply, replenish, but do it in a way of producing fruit for me. Find joy and purpose in establishing a home and raising our offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Find joy and purpose in that. I can remember in my own life how in America there was more joy and purpose in just establishing a Christian home. How simple. But how far we have strayed from this. Finding joy and purpose in marriage. Well, until Satan puts all this other filth out there and takes your mind away from God and takes your mind to things we should not have in our minds. Having the blessing of having children and raising them, being the parents, raising them, until the world says, well, you can't make it unless you have this amount of money and you have to do this and do that. In order to do that, you can't be a house mother and you can't be a stay-at-home mom. You have to be able to do this and that. And we take away from ourselves by passing on the greatest blessing that God's given to us to somebody else. I'm just saying how far we've come. We can't allow anything to come between and take us away from what's most important. Same God. Adam, it's what's most important. Noah, a new beginning, it's what's most important. Christ coming, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Most important. Stay focused on fruit for me. I've given to you marriage. I've given to you children. See, God, family, and church. You hear it all the time. In church. Get outside of church, you don't hear that. It's career. It's money. It's whatever you want. Strive for whatever you want. Be whatever you want. No matter what God says about it. If you don't want to be a girl, be a boy. If you don't want to stay married, divorce. I'm just saying, that's where we're at. And that is so far away from what God has given to us. See, each one will enhance the other. God will put the importance on the family and put the importance on the church. If you take away the church, you start taking away the importance of God. And then you're left with just family. And just family in this world that we live in without God and the church will not stand. And that's where we're at today. Families are falling apart because they don't have God and they don't have the church. And the first thing that will go from even godly families is being sidetracked and you give up on church. And if you give up on church, you're giving up on that which God designed to bring us back to God. And as it brings us back to God, then God emphasizes the family. God's plan. Always has been, always will be. We find it given again, a new beginning for Noah. New beginning. God says, my blessing and my instruction. And his blessings will be dependent upon his instructions, which is exactly how it is in our lives today. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.